Good morning. So I will be reading from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And now, from now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Back in 1991, I believe it was, during what was known as Desert Storm or the First Gulf War, that's when the U.S. allies fought to remove Iraq from their takeover of Kuwait. And so some of you may remember that. But there was a song at that time. It was by a group, by a rock band by the name of Styx. Some of you may have heard of them. Somebody, I guess some radio DJ or something, took some of the sound bites from the news reports about the war and put them with one of the songs by Styx. It was a song that was called Show Me the Way. And here are the opening words to the song, the first verse, I think, and the chorus. It says, every night I say a prayer in the hopes that there's a heaven. And every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside, so afraid that I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Please show me the way. Here we are, 30 years later, and people are still yearning to be shown the way. In reality, humans have been trying to find the way ever since Adam and Eve listened to that serpent in the garden. You see, there's a spiritual hole in us that each of us desires to be filled. You know, there's a saying that nature abhors a vacuum. And so what happens is we try to fill that hole with something. Something's going to try to fill that hole. And so people try to fill it with all kinds of things. With pleasure, with sex, with drugs, with wealth, with fame, popularity, a new identity. And the list goes on and on and on. But there's only one thing that can fill that hole. A relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the only thing that is going to fill that. Some people have called it a God-shaped hole because it's there in each of us. And people have tried to have a relationship with God in many ways. And when I say God, it's little g with quotation marks around it. You know, often people try even to make God into their own image or into an image that we can see. Or they try to devise some kind of a scheme to please him or even to be him. Warren Buffett once announced that he was going to be giving 85% of his wealth to 5 charitable foundations. And he made this statement, there's more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way. And you know, sadly, this is a common thought, that there are many ways to get to heaven. You probably have heard that there's so many different ways to get to heaven, people will say. And yet Jesus makes a very strong statement about himself. In the passage that Amy read this morning, he said this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, to get that last part again. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus says. You see, we can only have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. To fill that spiritual hole in our life, we need Jesus, and only Jesus. And so that answer to that song, show me the way, Jesus has shown us the way. He says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. Nothing else can fill that void in our life. We need Jesus and only Jesus. And yet people try all kinds of things. Proverbs 14:12 reminds us of this. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. And people are trying to find all kinds of ways. So many different religions, different things that they think are going to make them happy, that are going to satisfy them, that is going to satisfy that thirst, that spiritual hunger, and none of it works because they're trying all the wrong things. Notice Jesus tells his disciples that he is going away to prepare a place for them and that they know the way. And Thomas then says, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? You know, Thomas, I like Thomas. You know, he gets a kind of a bum rap, you know, as doubting Thomas, but everybody, all the disciples were doubting it at some point there. But he just asks this question, you know, and what all the guys are thinking, he just blurts it out and goes, hey, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And that's when Jesus tells them that he is the way. They know the way. His disciples know the way because they know him. They know Jesus. You see, the way isn't a map. It's not a bunch of directions. It's not a series of steps. It is Jesus. He is the way to the Father, and he is the only way, he said, because no one comes to the Father except how? Through Jesus. Through me, he said. So what does this mean to us? Some things I think that we need to understand, and hopefully we figure this out. The first is that the way leads to a destination. Okay? Whenever we try to go somewhere, it leads us to a destination. We don't just usually get on the road and just start going somewhere not knowing where we're going, do we? We usually have a place that we're trying to get to. And Jesus is preparing a place for us, he said. Now, I like going on vacations. I don't know how many of you like to go on vacation, but I like to go new places and go out and see our kids and different things like that. But you know what? I always look forward to coming home. Don't you? You know, we always look forward to coming home. Karen and I, on our 40th anniversary trip when we went down to Florida, on the way back, you know, we had a great time. We really enjoyed being down there by the beach, and maybe we could have stayed a few more days. But once we got to the airport, all we wanted to do was get home. All right? We wanted to get home. And guess what? Our plane got delayed. Of course. And then it got delayed again. And then it got delayed again. But thankfully, after 7 hours, we got on a plane. All right? 7 hours later than what we were supposed to take off, we finally got on the plane. That's better than our son, Trent. He and his wife, they went down to Florida this last week, and they went to get on the plane, and they waited, and they waited. Their flight got canceled, and they were supposed to leave, I think, what, somewhere around noon or something, maybe 2 o'clock, I can't remember, somewhere around there in the afternoon on Thursday. They didn't leave until 6 o'clock on Friday. All right, 6 p.m. Yes. On Friday. So, I mean, it was that long of a layover. And some of you have had stories like that, too, I know. But, you know, all they wanted to do was get home. That's what they told us the other night when we saw them. They said, we just wanted to get home. You know, we just wanted to get home. You know, and that was true with us. We were tired. We'd had a great week, but we were tired. Sitting in the airport just wore us out, too. We missed our dog. We missed the comfort of our place. You know, we missed our bed, our pillows, all those things we missed. Because it wasn't where we were at, wasn't home. And you know what makes home so good? Because that's where we live with our family. That's where we live with our family. That's what makes home so good. That's where family is. And you see, our real home is with our Heavenly Father, living with Him. You know, that's why this world seems strange to us sometimes. You know, because we actually are meant for another place. You know, this world isn't our home. There's that old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know, that's true. That's our home. And that's why this world seems strange to us sometimes. That's why, especially when you watch the news right now, you listen to talk radio, you listen to this or that, it's just like, what is going on? Because this world isn't our home. Our citizenship is with our Heavenly Father. The book of Revelation tells us that God is going to make His dwelling, His home, with His people. It says in chapter... Now my mind just went blank. 21, I think it is. 20 or 21. It talks about how it's going to come out of heaven. The New Jerusalem is going to come out of heaven, and God is going to make His dwelling with man, with people, with us. He's going to live with us. Those who come to Him through Jesus. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' Book of Life. His book. The one of those who He knows. Because that's all that's going to matter. Is does Jesus know you or not? That's what's going to matter when you get to those pearly gates. You know, people always talk about how Peter's got that book, you know. You know what that is he's looking at? The Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I don't think he's really at the gates. I think it's a whole different story. But anyhow, but the point is that we're home because we're family. We get in because we are family. We are God's children. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus. And that's why heaven is our home. Because our Heavenly Father is there. And so it's a destination. But you know what that destination is all about? It's about being with our Heavenly Father. That's where He is. We're going to go home. And so Jesus is the way there. The only way we get there, home, is through Jesus. And then we find out that the way is narrow. And Mike Clark's not here this morning. I thought, boy, he's going to love this time because I'm actually using a verse. He quotes quite a bit because it concerns him. And Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14 says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide gate is the gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And that's what concerns Mike, that whole idea that only a few find it. And all you have to do is look at our churches right now, and you see that's true. Only a few seem to find it. You know, as we said, there's only one way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. And so that makes this way somewhat exclusive. Because you can't get there any other way. You can't go through Buddha. I'm sorry, you can't get through Muhammad. You can't get through all these others. You cannot get there through any other way but through Jesus. And so it makes it exclusive. You can't take any other way to get there. Now, I don't know how many of you use GPS. I think probably everybody does. You know, it's funny. Carrie and I were talking one day. And we were coming back and we had our GPS on. And we were going through Cincinnati. And she said, "How did we ever get around in Cincinnati without a GPS? When we were in college, how did we know how to get to places?" And you know what? I couldn't remember. You know, I really couldn't remember. I guess we just kind of learned. And people say, you go here, and they tell you the roads. And you kind of look for landmarks and different things. And you just... kind of knew how to do it. Now, a lot of us, we probably can't get to Walmart without our GPS. So, but, you know. But here's the thing. When I put an address in, especially a new one, when I put a new address in my GPS, it gives me several routes. Now, it gives me the most direct, the quickest one, but it gives me alternate routes. And I can choose to do different ones. I can choose to have some that don't take me on freeways or don't take me on toll roads. One time my sister and brother-in-law came down to visit us, and they put it on their GPS, and they were coming from my grandmother's who lived up in Xenia, Ohio. And they were driving along. All of a sudden, their GPS told them to turn left. And they looked, and left was going down in the river. And they thought, what on earth? So they passed on by, but it told them to turn around and come back, and they come back. It was the ferry. It took him across the Augusta Ferry. And so And the thing was, they didn't have any money. It only takes cash. They didn't have any money. All they had was credit card. And so the guy goes, you'll get it to us sometime. So anyhow, but and they still haven't ever come back to pay it, but I don't think that. But, you know, but that's the thing. My GPS will tell me all these different ways to get someplace. Sometimes the right way, sometimes the wrong way. But most of the time it's right. But it'll also tell me how heavy the traffic is, how long it's going to take, you know, whether there's road work, all these things. But sometimes there's only one route. You know, there's only one way to get to some places. You know that old saying, you can't get there from here?
That's right.
You know, sometimes it seems that way. But there are some places where there's pretty much just one way to get there. There's no other ways. I remember when we used to take a group from the church down to the New River and go whitewater rafting. That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of times. And while we were on the rafts, the guides would tell us how we needed to get through rapids. Before we came through a set of rapids, the guide would kind of tell us, okay, we're going to start here. We're going to go over this way, down this way, over that way, you know, bounce off this rock, you know, all these different things. And they would tell us how to do it. And thing is, I've seen rafts get stuck on rocks because they go off the path. You know, they're up there. I mean, I'll never forget one time. They were all the way up on a rock. They didn't know. You know, we had to, I forget, they had to finally get somebody to kind of pull them off of it. And I've also seen rafts take the wrong path through the rapids, and they miss that narrow channel of water that you need to be in to get through it all right. And they get into the waves, and the waves capsize the raft, and everybody in the raft is in the water going through those rapids. Thankfully, that never happened to me. Thankfully. You know, the thing is that they got off the path. They weren't on the path that they needed to be on. They got off someplace, and they didn't end up where they wanted to be. And as we read earlier, there is a way that seems right, but it leads to destruction. You know, there were times where the guide would tell us that we needed to do this, this, and this, and I'm going, really? It looks like we could just do that. And what you find out is that that's the most dangerous route. It looks good, but it's the most dangerous. And so the road to life is narrow because it's Jesus. And it's only Jesus. The wide road that everybody's trying to take, it's got all kinds of things. All those things that we talked about earlier that people are trying to get to heaven by. Other gods, themselves, their deeds. And yet the only way to get there is through Jesus. And He is alone. And Jesus alone. And that's because the way is a person. It's not a path. It's not a set of directions. It's not a map or anything. It is a person. Jesus is the way because He has done what we needed to what we needed Him to do so that we could have a relationship with the Father. And that is, He died in our place. We've talked many times about how the wages of sin is death. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us what Jesus did. It says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And by becoming the righteousness of God, guess what we have? Relationship. We have relationship. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves and made it possible. In Hebrews 9:27-28, it says this, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Now, did you see that? It says, we're destined to die once. The thing is, are we going to die a second time? That is, when our name isn't written in the book of life and He sends them to hell, that's called the second death. And Jesus was sacrificed to take away the sins, it says, of many. Now, wait a minute. I thought Jesus died for everybody's sins. And the truth is, yeah, He did. He died for everybody's sins. But you remember there's a little word in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. You get that? The many are that whosoever. And sadly, there's a lot of people who aren't going to take him up on that. They're going to ignore it. They're going to reject it. They're not going to pay any attention to it. And so they're not going to know that salvation. So though Jesus died for them, their sins aren't going to be forgiven because they haven't accepted what Jesus gave them, what he did for them. And so their sins aren't forgiven because they haven't accepted that gift. And you know, we've talked about that before, that a gift really isn't a gift until you accept it and use it. And so Jesus is the way to the Father. And when we come to God through Jesus, he is ready to come to us. Remember the story of the prodigal son? And I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but you remember how when he finally realized that his father's servants were treated better than what he was getting, and he goes home. He goes home hoping to be a servant. But you remember what happens? When he's coming down that way, what happens? The father gets up off the porch and he comes running to his son. You see, that's it. When we accept what Jesus has done for us, God comes to us. He comes running to hug us, to embrace us as his children. In James 4:8, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Because Jesus is the way. So when we accept what Christ has done for us, God comes to us. He's here in our presence right now. He's here. I hope you know that. So, if there's a spiritual hunger in your soul, it can only be satisfied with a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the only way. And the only way to Him, to God the Father, is through Jesus. The way is narrow because many reject Him, but it is open to all who seek Him. Let's pray. Father God, we are here today knowing that without Jesus, we have no hope. We know, Father, that it's only through Jesus that we can have forgiveness of our sins. And only by having those sins eradicated can we have a relationship with you. And so, Father, remind us of that today. May we know Jesus. May we come to him. May we realize that he's the only way. There is no other way. We can try and be good enough. We can try to go through some other religion. But none of those are true, Father. And all of those are just our way that may seem right. But it only leads to destruction and death. So remind us today, Father, of what Jesus has done for us. And Father, if we haven't accepted him, may we seriously consider it, Father. May we think about what he has done for us. And may we then accept what he has done and come to you so that we might have that relationship with you and be able to live with you for all eternity, to be able to go home and to know all the good that you have for us, all that you have prepared for us, all that you want for us. Through Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. We're going to be using the song Where He Leads Me as our song of commitment. And so it says, I can hear my Savior calling. If you hear that voice today, we ask you to come on forward. And we'll gladly talk to you about what it takes to know Jesus, to follow him as the way. So let's stand and let's sing.